Paul, he preached this and he says, now, you know, a person who preaches wholeheartedly like this suffers a lot. It says, I'm going to be going to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit tells me that wherever I go, people will harass me, trouble me. You know, that's why people don't want to preach the whole truth. They'll be called heretics, they'll be called false teachers, false prophets, they'll be harassed, hounded, criticized. People will write all types of things against them on the internet and websites and everywhere else. And they don't want all that. They want to be popular. And that's why Christendom does not preach some of the strong things that are written in the New Testament. Paul was not bothered. He says, the Holy Spirit's already told me that wherever I go, it's going to be affliction and bonds and maybe jail, etc. That's fine. But he says, it doesn't bother me. Yeah, isn't it great to be like that? I'm not bothered what people say about me or what people do to me. I don't even count my life as valuable to myself. That's the type of man God needs, and woman, who can say, Lord, I don't care for my life. I don't care for my name. I don't care for my reputation. I don't care for any of these things. I want to finish the ministry, the course, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. And I want to say to every single person here who is born again, if you didn't know it, you can know it today, that God has a particular ministry for you, a particular plan for your life. He planned that before you were born, before your father was born, before your grandfather was born, before Adam was created. He knew you by name. He knew that in the 21st century, you would be there. You'd be born sometime in the 20th century, and there you are in the 21st century. And God knew that you would give your life to Christ, and He made a plan for your life. And the most important thing you must do is not getting married, it's not building a house, it's not getting your children married. It's fulfilling the course and the ministry that Jesus had for you. But you will never do it unless that's your number one passion. If your number one passion is to get on in the world and earn more money, well, you'll make that. But you may not finish the course and the ministry the Lord has for you. And when I say a course and a ministry, you know that I'm not talking about being full-time Christian workers. Earn your own living like I do, support yourself like I do, and serve the Lord. But seek to fulfill the ministry and the course which Jesus has for you. You must believe that first of all. Don't say, oh, I'm such an insignificant. Well, you may not be called to preach in the pulpit, but God's got a plan for you. Is the tongue the only part of the human body which has got a function? Is the eyes the only part of the human body which have got a function? What about all those small little joints and little nerves and all types of things inside your body which you don't even see? They've got a very important function. And I want to say, if you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, and you have a very important function. The sad thing is that many, many Christians are like that man who got one talent and buried it under the ground. He never did anything with it. Because he looked at the other person who's got 10 talents and said, boy, I can't preach like him. I can't do all that he did. Do you know that if 11 people who had one talent got together, they'd have more than the one man who has one talent? Is that a bit complicated, that mathematics? 11 people with one talent have more than one person with 10 talents? It's true. There are a lot of one talent people in the church. If they all really fulfill their part, there'll be a tremendous lot accomplished for God than if we leave all the jobs to the few 10 talent people there are. God has put very few people with 10 talents, very, very few, a little more with 5 talents, but hundreds and thousands with one talent. And the sad thing is, in Christendom, and I hope it won't continue in our churches, these one talent people have buried their talent, do nothing with it except come to conferences and meetings. Now you must determine that from now on you're not going to be like that. You're really going to use your one talent along with others with one talent, and you're going to do something for God in your church, in your home, in your locality, for Christ in this country. God needs you. And so he says there is a course and a ministry that I have, which I've received from the Lord Jesus. And in Paul's case, it was to solemnly proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, the gospel of the new covenant. I know God has commissioned me to proclaim the gospel of the new covenant, not the gospel of the law, which a lot of Christians are proclaiming, which is, makes people grumpy, long-faced, Pharisees, self-righteous, judgmental of others. It's all the result of the gospel of the law, which is not good news at all. It's a preaching of the law which has brought people there. I preached it myself in ignorance. Like Paul says, in ignorance, I preached a lot of things, but I got light. I hope you got light. I fear that in some of our churches, probably many of our churches, it's a gospel of law that is still being proclaimed. And it can produce an outward appearance of a holy people. It doesn't really change people inwardly. It's only the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the new covenant, the grace that was not known on earth till Christ came. That is the gospel which we are to proclaim. And he says, now I know that I won't be able to see your face much longer, and it's good for us to remember that some of the men of God who are preaching God's word to you, they are not going to be around forever. Please remember that. We need another generation coming up to proclaim the same message, to have the same devotion, and who are also committed to fulfill that ministry. The sad thing is, in Ephesus, such a second generation never arose. When Paul died, that was the end of the church in Ephesus. That's been the sad history of a lot of Christian churches. When John Wesley died and the people who were his closest co-workers died, that was virtually, spiritually, the end of the Methodist Church. When William Booth died and his closest co-workers died, that was spiritually the end of the Salvation Army. That's been true of many, many, many groups. But it need not be like that. God can raise up a second generation if I believe that God wants to lay hold of many of you sitting here with the same passion, the same willingness to seek nothing for yourself. You want to be part of that second generation? Decide, Lord, I want nothing for myself. When I was converted and I bought my first Bible, it's still there with me, I wrote on that page, in the inner page, Lord, I want nothing for myself. It's easy to write it, but I've tried to live up to that. Lord, I want nothing for myself. I want everything for your glory in my life. If you can do something with my life, do it. I said that to God when I was 20, 21. You can say that to God and you will qualify. Lord, I want nothing for myself. I don't want a name. In that day, I even said, Lord, I don't want a wife. I don't want a house. I don't want money. I don't want anything. Just take my life and fulfill the ministry which you have planned to accomplish through me, wherever it is. I thought it would be in Rajasthan first. That's what I thought. God had some other plans. I was willing to accept God's plan. But God has a plan for you. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, like Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Time is short. Jesus is coming soon. There is not enough time to live for the world like you've been doing in the past. Present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice every day. And allow God to renew your mind day by day to become more and more like Christ. Less and less the thinking of the world. You get the thinking of the world from newspapers, television. I'm not saying you can't read them, but don't let that, what's written there, affect you. Say, Lord, I want the Word of God to change my way of thinking, make me like Christ.